She says a couple things to say. I think a preacher always has a couple things to say, and then a couple things more. I wanted to just kind of give a message of hope, just to kind of give us an understanding of a little bit of a scripture passage. I'm going to move this so I can see a little bit better. But there's a couple things out of Mark chapter 1. It starts in verse 29, and if you have a Bible, you can look that up. Mark chapter 1 and verse 29 and following. We'll read it here in a second. But there's three things that I want us to see tonight. It's three things that I see that Jesus does for all of us, but also that we are trying to do as a church, as a body of believers together, to do what Jesus has taught us to do. And that is, one, Jesus lifts you up. Two, Jesus brings you in. And three, Jesus moves you out. Lifts you up, brings you in, and moves you out. Here's what it says. Mark 1:29 starts out, says, "And immediately he left the synagogue and he entered the house of Simon and Andrew." He's talking about Jesus there. "With James and John. Now Simon's mother-in-law lay ill with a fever, and immediately they told him about her. And he came and he took her by the hand and he lifted her up. And the fever left her, and she began to serve them." So look at the movement that's happening here. Twice the word "immediately" is used in these couple of verses. Immediately they move. Immediately they told him about her. Immediately he went and took care of the problem. So moving from one place to the next, to the next, to the next, doing works of ministry characterizes how Mark writes about Jesus. He's urgently connecting with people. He's not like writing reports and writing curriculum and keeping track of numbers so much. He's actually connecting with people, and he's doing ministry right with them. And he's doing it, Mark would have us believe, as quickly as he can, as fast as he can, because he's not going to be around very long. So he moves with urgency. Now, the mission of Jesus should be urgent, okay? We should be urgently about our Father's business. However, busyness does not mean effectiveness necessarily. Does that make sense? We can't just be busy all the time. We must move with patience. We must move with wisdom and understanding of what we're going to do, but we can't just sit still. Jesus wants us to be on the move. He wants us to get off our couches and out of our churches and into connection with the people that he has for us. So they go. Now, they were coming from the synagogue, right? They were coming from a place of, like, what we would call a church. Now, they're coming there, and they move out of there. Where do they go? They go to Simon's house first. Simon is also named Peter. He might be a more familiar name of a disciple for you. Simon Peter, they call him. They go to Simon Peter's house and his brother Andrew. Those two are brothers. So Simon Peter must be married, because also living in this house is Simon's mother-in-law, right? So how would you like that, those of you who are married, if your mother-in-law lived with you? This is why Peter becomes a saint. Yeah? Because it's okay. But all right, so the mother-in-law, Peter's mother-in-law, she was sick. She had a fever. And Jesus comes in. They tell Jesus about the mother-in-law. She's sick. She's laying in bed. And what's he do? He reaches out his hand and he lifts her up. He lifts her up. Jesus lifts you up. He took her by the hand. He helps her up. He took her hand and he helped her up. Isn't that beautiful? Now, he didn't set out to heal her. It doesn't say Jesus healed her. It says Jesus helps her up. He lifts her up and then healed. The action wasn't in the healing. The action is in the lifting up. He took her by the hand. That's the action. But that's how the healing occurred. He didn't intend to necessarily heal her. A connection with Jesus is a connection to be lifted up. And when you're lifted up by Jesus, that's when healing occurs. If you can be lifted up by Jesus, lifted up by your brothers and sisters in Christ together, that's when healing occurs. But notice that he helped her up. He didn't pull her out of bed, right? He didn't grab her and just pick her up. He helped her up. She had to be willing to get up out of the bed. She wasn't just going to stay there and lay there, right? She had to be willing to move with Jesus and get out of the bed in that position. So Jesus didn't do all the work. She had to do a little work too. She had some responsibility in her lifting up. Too often, our sick beds, whatever that might be, our places of where we need healing are our identities. Where we just want to stay right where we are, whatever our place of healing is, we'll just stay here because it's more comfortable and easier to just be sick laying here in bed. I have no responsibility that way. Sometimes we grapple with our feelings of guilt that we might have. I'm just going to stay here because I know God has forgiven me. I have grace in that, but I need to punish myself. So I'm going to just stay here in this sickness of guilt. Or I'm going to stay in this sickness of bitterness that I have against a perceived hurt that I have from somebody else. Look, Jesus comes to lift you up out of that stuff and be healed from those things. And you have to be able to go with him and move with him in that endeavor. Now, she gets lifted up. We bear that responsibility too. She's lifted up. She is part of it, being lifted up with him. But notice what she does in the midst of that. See, the lifting was up, but the fever was down. When the lifting came up, the fever went down. When you're lifted up, then the healing takes place. And whatever it was you were hanging on to before, it goes away. Bitterness, angry, addiction, you know, whatever you have, you can live in that grace as lifted up. But in the act of lifting up, by raising her up from the bed, she was healed. And so what does she do? As soon as she is healed, what does she do? She starts serving. And notice, she starts serving the men. Now, does it ever feel like that, ladies? Like, I've been sick for 3 days, and you guys couldn't do the dishes? I've been sick this whole time, and the laundry's still piled up. Isn't that way it goes? Well, now, take away the cultural, like, male-dominated thing of that particular society. But look at what happens here. Jesus lifts you up so that you can serve. Jesus lifts us up so that we can serve others. The whole reason he wants to lift you up is so that you can be in service to his people and to him. And you might say, I've never been healed from anything. Like, yeah, I've not had a miraculous healing. I went to the doctor. He healed me and I got sick. You know, when I got sick, I took medicine. I feel better. Or maybe you've had some miraculous healings. But either way, you might think, I might not have had too many healings. But think about this. When Jesus lifted you up, you were healed from your broken relationship with God. When Jesus came into your life, when Jesus comes into your life, if he has not yet, your healing takes place spiritually because now you're whole and complete with Father God in heaven. And when Jesus lifts you up, then it's time to join the movement that cuts across cultures and time, across millennia, and we can begin to serve Jesus. When Jesus lifts you up, you are no longer immobile in bed. Now you're on the move, and it's on with the mission. There's no more excuses. No more, God can't accept me because I'm a broken person. I have too much sin in my life. No, Jesus has lifted you up, and he heals you. Jesus came to lift you up, and here at Engage Newark, we hope to do that too. We want to lift you up along with ourselves with Jesus Christ. But the passage doesn't stop there. It says this in verse 32. That evening at sundown, they brought to him all who were sick or oppressed by demons, and the whole city gathered at the door. And he healed many who were sick with various diseases, and he cast out many demons. And he would not permit the demons to speak because they knew him. So they came after dark, and the reason why they came after dark is because it was the Sabbath day up to that point, and during the daytime they couldn't go anywhere, so after dark it started a new day, and they would come in the evening after dark because it was no longer the Sabbath. They were free to move about. And so the whole town was at the door. It'd be like trick-or-treat night, except without the costumes, you know. And instead, you got real ghosts and goblins and demons there, and Jesus is casting them out. Now, can you imagine how Peter's mom felt now that the whole town is at the door. She might like, oh no, there's too many people here. I'm not ready. I've been sick this whole time. Can't you see? No, I don't. I think she was glad to be able to participate in what Jesus was doing. But Jesus doesn't allow the demons to speak, even though they knew who he was. So Jesus clamped the mouth shut of the demons because this is early in his ministry. He did not want his identity to be attached with what the demons said about him. Don't let your identity be attached to what the demons say about you. They're just full of lies. And don't let them speak those lies into you. Don't let them speak to you or in through you. So people were brought into a miraculous healing, into this relationship with Jesus. But then look what Jesus does as he brings himself in closer with God. It says very early in the morning, and it's like all this commotion going on. Early in the morning, while it was still dark, Jesus got up, he left the house, and he went off to a solitary place where he prayed. So Jesus was taking like a little bit of me time, right? Sometimes we just need a little me time. I'm going to get off. I got to get away from these disciples. They're annoying. I've had some time with all the people. Now I just got to, okay, I just got a little me time. You know how it is. Well, he's taking some God and me time. He is bringing in his relationship with God so that he can have strength to do the outer works of ministry. Jesus took some time for himself. He took time away from everyone and all the stuff going on just to pray and be with the Father. So he escapes after dark, early in the morning, to have that God and me time alone to recharge his batteries. And then Simon and his companions went to look for him. And when they found him, they exclaimed, "Everyone's looking for you." Have you ever felt like that? Like, usually it starts with your name starts with hey. Hey, Dave. That's usually, hey, Dad. You know, hey, Mom. Hey, Brian. Hey, Priscilla. You know what I'm talking about. Everybody seems to need a piece of you right then. Everybody's looking for you. Where have you been? You have that at home. You have that at work. So sometimes you just need a refuge, a place where you can go and hide and just be. You need that place that might not necessarily be dark, but it is solitary. A place where you can go and just be with the Father and not be, hey, Dad, and not be, hey, Mom, or hey, you, or whatever it is that the people call you because they need you all the time. Their exclamation was, hey, Jesus, everyone is looking for you. Hey, Jesus, everyone's coming for you. Where are you at? Jesus, they need you. They need you, Jesus. And can you imagine Jesus in that position? He's been working all night long, and he's a man. He's got to physically be tired. And the whole town was knocking on his door, and he just got away to recharge his battery, strengthen himself to prepare for the kind of ministry he was about to undertake. Jesus came to bring us into relationship with God and Father. God wants to be in relationship with us, and we must spend time with him in order to be in relationship with him, in order to understand who God is, in order to know who he is so that we can become more like him and his son. We cannot be constantly on the move. Now, I said in a moment ago, like, we can't be stuck in the bed, but then there's another problem where we get stuck in the move. We're constantly on the move, and we never quiet ourselves, we never slow ourselves down in order to hear that still small voice of God. We have this unsustainable desire to be busy, 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 busy all the time. We think we thrive on people needing us, but really we need to be in a relationship with God the Father, and Jesus does that by bringing us into relationship with him. So, why is everybody looking for Jesus? It's because they want some more miracles. You know, they want to see a show. They want to see the cool stuff happening. So maybe I should ask, why do you want to be in relationship with Jesus? Why do you come to church? What do you want to get out of Jesus? Maybe it's just a miracle and a healing too. But look what Jesus does. We said, he lifts you up, he brings you in, and then this one, he moves you out. And he said to them, to the disciples, let us go to the next towns, that I may preach there also, for that is why I came out. And he went all throughout Galilee, preaching in their synagogues and casting out demons. He wants to leave this particular village, Peter's house, where he's at, and move to the next place. Why does he want to go to the nearby villages? So I can preach there also. That is why I have come. That's what he says. I want to preach in these other places. That's why I've come. He didn't necessarily come to heal the sick and drive out demons. That's part of it, but that's not why he came. He came so he could preach and tell the good news. That's why he came. And along with good news comes healing and demons being driven out of your life. On the one hand, Jesus knew if he stayed in that town, it'd just be another dog and pony show. Doing healings, maybe making food, whatever he was doing, driving out demons. Did you ever watch the old David Letterman? He had this thing called Stupid Human Tricks. You know, so Jesus didn't want to just be a stupid human trick. He wanted to preach good news. And on the other hand, though, these people had real problems. They had real issues that maybe only Jesus could heal and give them new life and new meaning. How could an all-loving Jesus reject the crowd in that town that he was in that so desperately needed him and move on to the next town? How can Jesus turn down legitimate needs? How can he so casually move on to the next town and another place just to leave these people to their own devices? I think it comes down to one particular word. It's enabling. Jesus is not an enabler or a negative type of enabler. These people wanted to create Jesus in their own image, and he was not about to enable them to do that by giving them more than what they wanted. He had a message to share. He had a mission to get on to, and he didn't necessarily want his message to be, I only just came to heal this town. Those people were just interested in the cool tricks. So Jesus moves out. He doesn't let them stay in their enablement, saying, this is who you are, Jesus, for us. We can't just stay where we are either. This has been a great first year. Oh, we had a great first year of Engage New York Church. But we'll lose something if we just stay here doing the same things over and over and over again. So Jesus moves out. And so we're going to keep moving out. I think we had some great numbers. We calculated numbers and kept track of things like that. Those were great. But really, it's all about the connections that we're making with you and the people in the community. We have to continue to lift people up. We have to continue to bring people into relationship with Jesus Christ and then move ourselves out collectively to carry on the mission of Jesus Christ. We're not here to enable us to stay in our sick beds. But we're also not here just to be busy, busy, busy for the sake of busy. We're here for this relational purpose with Jesus Christ. So we're here to do as Jesus did, to lift you up, to serve, to bring you into relationship with God through Jesus Christ, and to move you out in a ministry with all the people. In a moment, we're going to take up an offering that will help us continue a mission that's been ongoing in our community for years with the Food Pantry Network and our sending church. Marn Church has a vibrant food pantry that thousands of people are fed every month through that effort. This is going to go to that effort for the whole community and through Marn United Methodist Church as well. So you are invited to participate in it. This is sort of our birthday gift back to the community. And we want you to participate it with as much as you can. So as we do that, we're going to play a song, sing a song, and the ushers will pass that bucket around. Let's pray. God, thank you for this moment in time where we can come and we worship you. And yeah, we sing songs and we enjoy this process of singing and making music. But we ask, God, that you use these gifts that we're presenting of worship to be something that is pleasing to your Son, but not only that it's pleasing to our community too, that they can hear our voices in this act of worship of giving these gifts. And so use these for your kingdom. May people be encouraged and blessed. because of what you've done in our lives and in our place this evening. We thank you and praise you. In Jesus' name, amen.